Hello, everyone, and I'm Lindley Bilby, and welcome to our first podcast for the International Society of Blood Transfusion Practitioner Group. I'm the manager of the Blood Matters program here in Victoria in Australia. The program is about improving quality and safety for patients receiving transfusions and for promoting patient blood management. It's all about patient safety. I have a passionate interest in and involvement in promoting transfusion improvements and patient blood management practice, including individualised patient therapies and the transfusion nurse or the transfusion practitioner role. I've had the privilege of chairing the transfusion practitioner group, where I'm able to promote this important role across the world. To give a bit of background, the International Society of Blood Transfusion is a global community of professionals that share knowledge to enhance transfusion practice and blood management. The Society does this by promoting opportunities for advancing knowledge and education and by advocacy for the welfare of blood donors and patients. So ISBT has many working groups that focus on specific topics and areas of practice. And one of those is the transfusion practitioner subgroup. So you may be asking, what is a transfusion practitioner? Well, today we're going to hear from some transfusion practitioners from ISBT, and they're going to tell us about their role and the things that they do and why this role is so important in the healthcare system. This podcast is kicking off a series that will cover all things about the transfusion practitioner role. Throughout the series, we will provide some specific examples of the activities. We'll link you through with resources and we'll provide you some practical tips that you can actually use in your health service. We will also cover how you can build a case for a transfusion practitioner at your health service if you don't already have one. So now let's meet our transfusion practitioners. So first of all, I'd like to introduce Rachel Moss.
Hello, I'm Rachel Moss. I'm working in London in the United Kingdom. I've been a transfusion practitioner now since 2002. So my 2003, sorry. So my 20-year anniversary is coming up, and I'm a nurse by background. And my role, as we'll explore all our roles, is very similar. It's focusing on the patient and blood transfusion and everything in between, and making sure that both the staff and the patient and the laboratory all know and work together to do with blood transfusion. We'll go into a bit more detail as we go along, but I also work at Great Ormond Street Hospital. So for those who know what that is, it's probably the premier children's hospital in the UK, but don't say that to any other children's hospitals in the United Kingdom.
Thanks, Rachel. So Claire, tell me about your role.
Hi, so my name is Claire O'Reilly and I'm also a registered nurse by profession. My title is a transfusion safety nurse clinician and I work at British Columbia's Children's and Women's Hospital. I've been in this current role for 10 years, but I have an extensive background in pediatric oncology, hematology, and bone marrow transplant. And I've also worked in blood collection and platelet apheresis been a clinical coordinator at our local blood provincial office and worked as a hemovigilance officer in Ireland. So my experience in the transfusion practitioner role will be similar to Rachel's. And I also work at an excellent children's hospital.
Excellent. Thanks, Claire. Now, Jana, tell us about your role.
Hi, I work part-time as a TP in the University Hospital of Brussels in Belgium since 2013. I was the first TP in our hospital. So I focused more on hemovigilance and education in the beginning, but since 2017, I have a TP colleague who is very lovely. And for the moment, I'm trying to facilitate the implementation of PBM in our hospital. For your information, I'm a midwife for background with a master in management and policy of public health care.
Thanks.
But of course, that's not necessary, but it's nice to have.
I think it adds to the role. Thanks, Jana. Louise, tell us about your role.
Hello, everyone. My name is Louise, and I'm the transfusion practitioner for Liverpool Hospital in the southwestern Sydney, Australia. I have a nursing background, and my role is predominantly focused on developing, evaluating, and facilitating patient-centered systems which enable appropriate use of blood and blood products and the minimization of inappropriate usage and associated costs. I have been a TP for 3 years, and last year I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to join the ISBT TP group. This is a great opportunity to contribute information from my new practitioner perspective and to further my own professional development.
Great. Thanks, Louise. Well, we've had a bit of a tour of what everybody does. So, Rachel, can you please tell us, what is a transfusion practitioner?
You know, that is the million-dollar question. And I think it's a good point, because it means many things to many different people. So what we've started really using, the TP, or transfusion practitioner, is as an umbrella term, an international term that we use to describe many different people doing very similar jobs. So we know, because we've done a survey of this, which you can find in Vox Sanguis, that common terms used include transfusion safety officer, quality officer, transfusion nurse, hemovigilance officer, transfusion clinical nurse consultant, patient blood management practitioner, or perhaps coordinator, and they're just a few. But what we do, and the fact that we come from different backgrounds, really adds to that. But our real goal is to improve and support the quality and safety of transfusion for all patients having a blood transfusion, and to implement the patient blood management goals, which are an international goal that come from wherever. And you've heard in the introduction that Jana's a midwife, most of us are nurses, but you can also have a scientific background. And we know that in some situations, actually, they've come from a medical background, they've been medical staff. So it is an umbrella term, but it means lots of different things. But the driving force is safe transfusion and patient blood management.
Thanks, Rachel. So you're all from different countries. Are there differences between the TP roles, or even between the TP roles within a country? So Claire, can you tell us about your experience?
Yes, and it's not just to confuse people, but there is great variation. Here in Canada, I would say there's variation with throughout Canada. We have provinces, so there's variation between provinces, and there's also variation within the province, usually based on the size of a health authority, to the scale of the role of the nurse. Transfusion safety officer or transfusion nurse is the most common term used in Canada. We do not see the transfusion practitioner role. It's predominantly held by laboratory or registered nurses. I'm not aware that there's any physicians, although obviously all physicians within transfusion medicine are committed to safe transfusion. There is variation between job descriptions and roles and responsibility. And I believe that this variation within the job description and roles and responsibilities is a strength, as it allows institutions to create a position that best suits their needs and vision for the position. It really doesn't make sense to say, you know, it has to be just one job description. So even within British Columbia, we have some variation between my role and the role of transfusion nurses at other sites.
That's interesting. I guess that makes sense. So Jana, is it different in Belgium?
I will tell you some results of our last patient blood management survey we did in 2020, because we also asked some questions about the TPs available or present in the Belgian hospitals. So 89% of the Belgian hospitals with transfusion committees have transfusion practitioners. I think that's not too bad. It's already quite positive, so we are quite happy with that. But on average, these TPs are assigned only for 0.3 full-time equivalent, which corresponds to one person for 1.5 days per week. So that's not so much if you look to all the tasks we could and should or like to do. And only 1/3 of these TPs were allocated time to work on PBM initiatives. So I think it's likely that the focus of Belgian TPs will be mainly on hemovigilance, the training and audits, but we hope that PBM will also be included more and more also in Belgium.
Okay. Thank you. So Louise, tell us about what the roles are like in Australia.
So in Australia, we do have similar roles and I guess focus areas as Rachel, Claire and Jana have said, but basically the difference with us is that there are certain networks of TPs across each of the states and territories, and unfortunately we don't report to a centralized national headquarter. The TP role may be required to oversee single or multiple hospital sites, depending on the size requirement of the organisation. The TP role may be referred to by several titles, for example, the patient blood management clinical nurse consultant, the hemovigilance clinical practice manager, or the transfusion nurse. These roles are usually filled by registered nurses. However, there are some TPs who are transfusion scientists. And all of these TP roles have similar focus areas, which include undertaking activities that ensure their facility or facilities are compliant with the National Hospital Accreditation Standards for Blood Management and the Australian and New Zealand Society of Blood Transfusion Guidelines. Their activities encompass education, investigation and follow-up of transfusion reactions, policy procedures, guidelines development and patient blood management quality improvement projects.
Okay, so that sounds similar but different. So Rachel, tell us about the experience in the UK.
So a bit like Jana, we have looked at this over the years. We do a patient blood management, and because we're so tiny compared to Australia, we do have a much more cohesive central way of doing things. And we have the devolved countries of Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales and England. So this is really focusing on England. And we have audited transfusion practitioners, both the times, and that does vary to whole time equivalents. And also, what do they do? I think the main ones, and it's a bit similar to Jana, staff training competencies always comes high up the list. It's slightly getting better insofar as we don't have to do everybody every 3 years, which is what happened about 10 years ago. But it does take up a lot of the transfusion practitioner's time. Hemovigilance is a huge part of our role because we are very heavily regulated. We have the Serious Hazards of Transfusion Hemovigilance Scheme, and then a slightly separate legislation scheme in the United Kingdom run by the Medicines and Healthcare Regulation Authority. They also do a lot of audits, both the national comparative audit, so there's a lot of stuff, again, it's a national audit program that we follow, plus our local ones. And then you've got policy development. And we also have some transfusion practitioners that run anemia clinics, so iron clinics. Is not unusual, not very common, but I could probably find 2 or 3 hospitals locally where their transfusion practitioner runs the iron stuff. I think PBM is slow to catch on as an everyday activity. It's almost seen as an add-on rather than as part of the top five. But I think it's getting there slowly. We've just had another PBM survey, the headlines of which have come out recently, and the rest will come out later on this year. So I think it's getting there slowly, and it is the TP does need to be part of that. But there are lots of other things that unfortunately are required as well as PBM. So the difference is, I think, is everybody interprets it slightly differently. And what I can say is everybody allocates different amounts of time. So what I see as the priority in my role could easily be very different from, say, Louise, who was at the hospital just literally a mile away in central London. May interpret it differently. And that does make it difficult when thinking about standardizing the transfusion practitioner role. And I think what we're doing here is just showing the common themes. I think we just have to build on that.
So it sounds like there's quite a number of different activities that the transfusion practitioner role has within its capacity. So Jana, could you actually tell me what some of the key activities are?
Yes, thank you. In my opinion, if I have to explain the function of a TP to people who don't know my function, I always tell them that it can be considered as a quality coordinator with the focus on everything that is related to transfusion. So we are analyzing incidents, conducting audits, updating protocols, implementing improvement actions, and so on. So yes, one of the important roles of a TP is hemovigilance, being involved, for example, in the reporting of incidents and transfusion reactions to the Hospital Transfusion Committee and the National Surveillance System. However, I think that the main added value of a TP in hemovigilance is that the TP is well positioned as an intermediary to talk with the people who are involved in the incidents. And it's important they do it in a non-judgmental way. And they are well positioned to uncover areas for improvement to avoid similar incidents in the future. And based on these conversations, they can also see, okay, is it necessary we give more training on a certain topic? And also for transfusion reactions, they can be involved in educating nurses and physicians about transfusion reactions.
Hmm. Well, that sounds like there's a lot of things, and when you say we've got a small amount of hours, it's a lot to fit in. So does anyone else have some other sort of activities that may be undertaken? So Rachel.
I think one of the key things about being a TP is it's because I've trained a lot of up over the years, you're rather juggling many different balls at the same time. And whether that's education or hemovigilance or expert or some of the others. And I think to me, it's about being an expert, not necessarily knowing all the answers, but knowing where to find the answers. I get many stopped in the corridor conversations, or I've just ring Rachel. Lots of ward managers will say, let me just ask Rachel. You'll get an email from somebody saying, I should know, my consultant's favorite email is, I should know this, but I'm just going to ask you anyway. And I think that the TP can do all these activities, all these audits, all this education, and we build on it. We layer up each time. Every year you do the job, you learn something new and you take something away with you. I don't profess even after 20 years to know it all, but I know where to find the answer. And I know, and I think that's what a TP does so well, that if they're stopped by anybody in the corridor as a phone call, whether it's about an audit or about a clinical query, we will find that information. You're almost like a one-stop shop for blood transfusion, because they know we will know where to go. Even if I know nothing about antibodies, the senior scientist knows about antibodies. Even if I've never done apheresis, I know an apheresis nurse specialist. That's, I think, a very critical part of the TP role.
Excellent, that's great. And Claire, you were going to add some more.
Yes, this is going on very recent experience. I think also as transfusion nurses, I see myself strongly as an advocate for patient safety, but also for nursing within my site. And our health authority is in the midst of going live with electronic order entry. And this is a massive project within the Lower Mainland in British Columbia. And there's lots of new terminology. One of them is SME, subject matter expert. And I've been on meetings for the last 4 years contributing on the development of power plans orders for transfusion. And increasingly, I see that I have to advocate very strongly for our site, and that these orders are developed to work within a pediatric and a neonatal setting, as well as an adult setting. And when the system throws up a roadblock and their solution is a complicated workaround, we've had to advocate very strongly, our team and myself included, to say, that's not going to work. That's not sustainable. That's not safe. So this is something that I see is very new in this role of being an advocate. When new systems come on board, you're introducing a new system, how does that impact transfusion practice and making sure that it's safe? So it could be summarized as an advocate, but certainly It's, you know, transfusion nurses within our health, our province have been heavily involved in this project.
That's sounds like, you know, you're advocates not just for nurses, but also for patients in making sure patient safety. So it's
absolutely big, yes.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. Now, I did hear Jana mention in her description that she was talking about following up and being able to provide education. So I hear, and several people have spoken about education. So could you actually sort of tell me a bit more specifically what kind of education you provide and who you actually provide it to? So Claire, would you like to start us off with that one?
Yes. So education, I would say, that within our site, the transfusion nurse is the backbone of transfusion education. It's fundamental to the role. And again, we observe variation in how transfusion nurses are involved and their approach to education. They frequently organizing and managing education programs and events at hospital level, and also participating in the development of local, regional, and national educational resources. TPs are also involved in competency assessment and evaluation of staff. So how do TPs deliver education? Well, common forms of education delivery are situational. So working maybe with a new grad who's administering a blood component, and I'd often have time to go up to a unit and spend time with that nurse. And it's a very valuable form of education. Sometimes it's face-to-face in a classroom, in workshops or booth camps. Within the lab, for transfusion safety officers who work within the lab, it may also be sort of at the elbow, where they have a new staff member working at their elbow and they're talking them through a process, a procedure. Simulation is becoming far more prevalent within education for transfusion practice. And these can be multi-department, where say a mock massive transfusion hemorrhage protocol, or it can be a multi-role, or it can be just within the lab. And simulation doesn't always have to be high tech. It can be paper, worktop based. E-learning, developing content for online learning, and webinars, and especially more webinars since COVID. And who and what do we teach? We teach physicians, lab staff occasionally, although for lab staff that would usually be delivered by a lab transfusion safety officer, nurses, registered midwives, nurse practitioners, LPNs, licensed practice nurses, and student nurses. Allied health, for example, perfusionists, sometimes porters or aides or orderlies, and occasionally with patients and families. And what we educate on everything and anything related to transfusion practice.
Wow, that sounds like a full-time job in itself. So I take my hat off. That sounds like you guys are always really busy. So we've talked about quality as being part of it, and you mentioned earlier, Louise, about standards. So is quality management an important task of the transfusion practitioner role?
Someone argued it is one of the most important roles of the TP. So quality management and quality improvement is one of the key focuses of our work. We are like the quality coordinators or managers, except we have specialised in transfusion and blood management activities. As previously mentioned, we do this through auditing and then using these results to improve practice. Auditing practice against evidence-based guidelines and protocols help support the corrective actions, and some TPs are also involved in research. The goal is to ensure the care of the patient is appropriate for what the patient needs and that is given safely.
Excellent. So anyone else like to have some last words on some quality stuff before we wind up?
I like that Jana described our job as with quality in it to give it to help people better understand it. So I think that really does sum it up, that quality is at the heart of what we do, and all those other things we do are come from that point making sure that we deliver a high quality transfusion service, whether that's education or whether that to the patient, and all those things in between. So I would say, as the others have agreed, that it's really the starting point of TP role.
Excellent. Wow, well, you guys have given us a really great tour of how busy and how important the transfusion practitioner role is. And I think Jana just wanted to mention something more on patient blood management, because that's clearly an area that she's been able to work in a bit more than some of the others. So Jana, tell us about that.
I'm not sure that I'm working more on PBM than the others, but I just think it's important also to mention it. I think also PBM can be related to quality, because quality in transfusion is not only about incidents and reactions, but it's also about making sure patients who could receive transfusion receive the best care possible. For example, by focusing on the screening and management of preoperative anemia in elective surgery. Also, ATP can play an important role in the project to reduce iatrogenic anemia, to avoid unnecessary blood loss, and as such, to avoid unnecessary transfusions. For example, in our hospital, my colleague is doing an audit on iatrogenic anemia, and she is collecting information necessary to do that audit. And like this, we will have the information necessary to start the project and to convince other involved people to do this project and to improve our blood, our lab test ordering, for example.
That sounds a topic in itself, and that probably leads us on to some of the things that we're going to be talking about throughout our series. So I want to say thanks so much to all of our transfusion practitioners, transfusion nurses, whatever the role title is in your country, for joining us today and telling us about your role. And I'd also like to thank the listeners for joining our first podcast about transfusion practitioners. We'd like to say thanks to ISBT for hosting our podcast. And the transfusion practitioner role is certainly a diverse one and an interesting one that is focused on safety and improving patient outcomes. So we want to link anybody that's listening in today, if they've got any feedback or questions, they can link in to us by visiting the International Society of Blood Transfusion's website. When you're actually in there, you can check out the clinical transfusion working party, and that's where you'll find more details about the transfusion practitioner subgroup, and you'll find our contact details there. So we look forward to you joining us in our next episode, which is going to be how transfusion practitioners make a difference. And there will be a series of others, and one of those will be more focusing on patient blood management. So we look forward to having you join us with our series of podcasts. Thanks for listening.